Howdy. And Rabbi Metzger, I am grateful to you for the extra minute because I intend to use it. So thank you, Rabbi Yaris. Thank you, Rabbi Metzger. I want to thank Risa and Rabbi Rafi Cashman for dedicating the program this evening in memory of Risa's father, Martin Paul Solomon, Menashe ben Avram Yaakov, Zichrona Levracha. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening for the first hour so far. We've got an hour to go, my shir, as well as Rabbi Sammy Bergman. So my topic is Ma'oz Tzur, more than Rock of Ages. I want to talk Hanukkah and music. So for someone of my generation, when you want to talk Hanukkah and music, you have to look at the first source on the source sheet. I put a link to the source sheet in the chat so that people will be able to download it. I prefer not to share screen if I can avoid it. So if you could download it, that way you'll be able to get it right there. Also, I see a lot of people have their screens off. I realize that when someone shares their screen, it's more likely that people will just turn their screen off. I'm not sharing the screen. I would love to see you. It's a lot easier for me to give a shiur when I can actually see people's faces. So for those who are comfortable doing that, please do. Don't worry about what you look like at 9 o'clock at night. We're all dealing with 9 o'clock at night. Thank you very much. Okay, so I refer you to the first source on the source sheet. This is from Adam Sandler's original Hanukkah song. I don't know how many Hanukkah songs he ended up with. I think I was familiar with three or four. But this is his introduction to the first one. And he said on Saturday Night Live, "When I was a kid, this time of year always made me feel a little left out. Because in school, there were so many Xmas songs, and all us Jewish kids had was the song Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel. So I wrote a brand new Hanukkah song for you Jewish kids to sing, and I hope you like it." And then he went on with his remarkable song. Question to you. Is that true that all we have is dreidel, dreidel, dreidel? Besides Ma'oz Tzur, what else do we have for Hanukkah? Sorry, give me one. Haneros Halalu. Okay, Haneros Halalu. It's nice, not so catchy, but it's, you know, it's a song. What else?
I Had a Little Dreidel.
I Had a Little Dreidel is Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel. Those are the same song. You can't claim it twice.
Al Hanisim.
Al Hanisim. There's a good one. And Al Hanisim has multiple tunes, and we've got all those verses. You can break out a verse like Yevanim and use that separately. Definitely counts. Others? Well, Hallel, you're full of songs in Hallel, and we're going to come back to the importance of Hallel. There must be a Jelly Donut song, but I don't know it. Is there a Jelly Donut song? Or are you just too busy with your mouth full, and therefore, you know, I don't know. Jelly Donut songs. There should be Jelly Donut songs. In any case, the confusion about whether we have Jelly Donut songs or not, notwithstanding, I want to talk about the song of Ma'oz Tzur. So Ma'oz Tzur is actually really old. I assume that the link Rabbi Metzger just put in the chat is for a Jelly Donut song. Thank you. I greatly don't appreciate that. Now no one's going to watch the shiur anymore. They're going to be busy with the Jelly Donuts. In any case, first of all, I want to show you just how old Ma'oz Tzur is. If you look at the second link on the source sheet from the Leket Yosher, which records the practices of Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein, you're talking 15th century Bavaria, he describes how on Shabbos of Hanukkah, I'm reading my English translation, you can see the original Hebrew there on the sheet as well, on Friday night, he, Rabbi Isserlein, a major halachic authority, would sing the song Kol Mekadesh, and Ma Yedidut Menuchatech, and sometimes Ma Yafit, and sometimes he would also sing another song related to the day, like Ma'oz Tzur on Hanukkah. In other words, it may have been a Friday night song. Frankly, I think in general, on Shabbos of Hanukkah, you are far better off leaving Ma'oz Tzur to the table Friday night, as opposed to trying to sing it while you're trying to deal with candle lighting, Hanukkah lighting, and all the other things that happen on the short Friday of Shabbos Hanukkah. But the point is that you can go back to the 15th century and find people singing Ma'oz Tzur. The author of Ma'oz Tzur seems to be named Mordechai. 2 points for him. Cantor Bernard Beer has a bit more on the song and the tune. I gave you a link in source number 3 where you can find out more about it. The classic tune is said to be found throughout Ashkenaz, the descendants of German Jewry. Cantor Beer traces it to two German folk songs. which is okay. It joins in with En Kelokeinu and other songs like that. In the 19th century, two American Reform rabbis, Gustav Gottheil and somebody who many of you are familiar with as Marcus Jastrow, created a new version of Ma'oz Tzur. It was called Rock of Ages, or Tzur Olamim. It seems to have been an attempt to create a sanitized version of Ma'oz Tzur. Basically, it eliminates the Jewish history, it eliminates the slaughter of our enemies, and it eliminates the desire to build the temple. Take a look on your sheet. It's source number 4. This is the text of Rock of Ages. It's also a lot shorter. Easier to sing on Friday afternoon. Rock of Ages, let our song praise thy saving power. Thou amidst the raging foes wast our sheltering tower. Furious they assailed us, but thine arm availed us, and thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us. Repeat that line if you like. Then, second verse. Kindling now the holy lamps, priests, or kindling new, I should say, the holy lamps, priests approved in suffering. I don't know what approved in suffering means. They approved kindling the lamps, maybe. Purified the nation's shrine, brought to God their offering, and his courts surrounding here enjoy abounding, happy throng, singing songs with a mighty sounding. Third verse. Children of the martyr race, whether free or fettered, wake the echoes of the songs where ye may be scattered. Yours the message cheering that the time is nearing, which will see all men free, tyrants disappearing. It's a great song about liberty. It's got some celebration, records some of the story, but it's missing the guts of Ma'oz Tzur. And when I say that, I mean literally the guts of Ma'oz Tzur. Not just a number of words are cut out, but some of the key ideas of Ma'oz Tzur are cut out. And that's what I want to spend the next 24 minutes talking about. So, I start off with a point that Rabbi Yeres touched upon in his shiur. Music is fundamental to celebration of Hanukkah. And therefore, Ma'oz Tzur has to be more than just a nice song. Now, growing up, I thought Chanukiah is central to Hanukkah, right? That's what you make the blessing on. That's what you gather around and light. It's certainly the flashiest element of it. But the evidence actually points to Hallel. Take a look at source number 5, please. Source number 5, a passage from the Talmud. I'm going to, again, post the link for the source sheet in the chat. Source number 5 is the passage where the Talmud tells us what Hanukkah is all about. Listen to this. What is Hanukkah? Our sages taught. On the 25th of Kislev, there are 8 days of Hanukkah, when we neither eulogize nor fast. For when the Greeks entered the sanctuary, they contaminated all of the oil in the sanctuary. And when the monarchy of the house of the Hashmonaim mustered strength and defeated them, they searched and could find only one jug of oil marked with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. So far, so good. This sounds familiar? Right? There shouldn't be any surprises in this part. There was only enough to kindle for one day. But a miracle occurred. They kindled from it for 8 days. So far, so good. The next year, they established them and made them Yamim Tovim, Yantif, holidays, with Hallel and thanks. Does it say anything about enacting lighting the menorah? Or Chanukiah? No, it does not, right? You won't see that. There are those who actually argue, and I say those, not like latter-day figures, but Rishonim, early authorities, who argue that, in fact, the practice of lighting the menorah does not get enacted until the end of the Second Temple period. They're not lighting the Chanukiah. The way they celebrated Hanukkah was Hallel v'Hoda'ah. Hallel and thanks. As Rabbi Yeres noted, if you were to look at Al-Hanisim, Al-Hanisim doesn't mention anything about lighting the menorah either. It does mention that they lit lamps in the yards of God's sanctuary. There are many possible meanings to that, but it likely does not refer to the menorah either. Instead, Al-Hanisim, which we say in the prayers on Hanukkah, talks about establishing those days, lahodot ul-halel l'shimcha ha-gadol, to thank God's great name. And, as Rabbi Yeres noted, the Rambam in his laws of Hanukkah includes the laws of Hallel. Even though we say Hallel for all of the biblical holidays, the Rambam chooses to deposit the laws of Hallel in Hanukkah. Why? Because Hallel is key to Hanukkah. What is special? What is the connection between Hallel and Hanukkah? Let me ask you this question. I've got 21 minutes to go. I'm willing to burn a couple of minutes here. here's my question for you. Hallel is associated with Pesach. Hallel is associated with Shavuot. Hallel is associated with Sukkot. Why is it that I am arguing? Why is it that the Rambam seems to argue that Hallel has a closer connection to Chanukah than to any of those biblical holidays with biblical miracles? What would you say? Why should Hallel and Chanukah have a special connection? But so are all them. All of them have that, have Hallel. I don't see why that should be such an issue. I'm sorry?
Connected with the temple.
All of them are connected with the temple, no? They all have, as a matter of fact, all those other holidays have actual sacrifices. Chanukah does not, it's rabbinic. Chani, you were going to say?
Maybe, because Hallel is 8 days. Hallel, you say full Hallel, and this Chanukah is also 8 days, it goes up, and there's something maybe mystical about it, or something more deep about it, that we have to say the full Hallel on Chanukah, and we don't say it on Purim, for instance.
Deeper in the nature of Chanukah. There could indeed be something deeper in the nature of Chanukah. It's just so odd. So I'll give you an idea from Rav Aaron Cutler in his Mishnas Rabbi Aharon, where he talks about two different types of Hallel. It's based on a Gemara in Erchin, which I brought you one line from in source number 6. The Gemara in Erchin says that you say Hallel for every holiday that has a unique karban, a special sacrifice. That's one reason why we say a whole Hallel only in the beginning of Pesach, and then the rest of Pesach we say only a partial Hallel. Because the rest of Pesach, the karban, the sacrifice, is not unique. It's the same sacrifice as you bring on day one, as opposed to Sukkot, where it's different on each day. So the beginning of that Gemara says, you say Hallel for a holiday that has a unique karban. However, the Gemara then asks about Chanukah. Chanukah doesn't have a sacrifice at all. Why are you doing that? Take a look at source number 6. The Gemara says, V'ha-Chanukah de-lo ha-chi v'lo ha-chi ka-amar. It says, I don't understand. Chanukah, first of all, you're allowed to go to work. And Chanukah doesn't have a special karban. And yet we're saying Hallel. The answer is, Mishum Nisa. Because of the miracle that occurred. In other words, there are two motivations for Hallel. One, you sing when you bring a sacrifice to God. And two, you sing in response to a miracle. And Rav Aaron Cutler's point is, the Chanukah Hallel is special because it's not about ritual at all. It's not about singing a song while you're bringing a sacrifice. It's only about a miracle. And take a look at his language in source number 7. I love the way he expresses this. He says, "Af masha ha'adam ro'eh be'einav, even that which a person sees with his own eyes, me'atzorech leva'er la'atzmo mashehu ro'eh velikboa b'hakaraso. He needs to interpret for himself that which he sees and to establish it in his mind. In other words, we need to process things. It's not sufficient for us to simply experience something. We need to process the experience. It has to become part of us, that experience. And the way it works, says Rav Aaron Cutler, is by saying Hallel. That is our means of processing the miracle, because we train ourselves to recognize that it came from Hashem. That's the connection. We train ourselves to recognize what the miracle was and to value it. And I'm arguing here that our traditional Chanukah songs amplify that role of Hallel. It's not just about the formal Hallel that we say as part of prayers. What's my basis for that? The Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law. Pretty good source. Take a look at source number 8. Rabbi Moshe Isserles, in the Code of Jewish Law, talks about our Chanukah meals. He notes that there's no mitzvah requirement of having a special meal for Chanukah. However, he says, Nonetheless, the Noagin Lomar Zmiros Ushvachos Bisudo Shemar Ben Bahem, our practice is to sing songs at those meals that we create for Hanukkah, Va'az Havi Sudas Mitzvah, and that makes it a mitzvah meal. These are mitzvah songs. I will add to that a line from Ma'oz Tzur. In Ma'oz Tzur, if you take a look in source number 9, I gave you the Art Scroll translation of Ma'oz Tzur. So the next to last paragraph, the last line in the paragraph, men of insight, 8 days established for song and jubilation. I apologize for the way that line reads, but that's what happens when you try to translate things linearly from Hebrew to English. 8 days established, meaning men of insight established for 8 days for song and jubilation. That's what we're supposed to be engaged in during Hanukkah, song and jubilation. That's what we do, not just Hallel, but all the songs that we sing. Which means, to make sure that we are all on the same page still, I know, when a shiur starts at 9, you have to really work for it. You can't just sit back. So let's make sure we understand where we are. Number one, we have established that music is fundamental to celebration of Hanukkah. It is our means of processing the miracle. That this does not only apply to Hallel, it also applies to all the songs that we sing. They help us process it. And now I turn to Ma'oz Tzur and ask, so how does Ma'oz Tzur do that? What exactly is Ma'oz Tzur about? How is it different from that song we started with, this Rock of Ages? So we look at the opening verse in source number 9, and we're not going to do a fine textual analysis. Like I said, 9 o'clock at night, not the time for that. So the opening verse is an introduction. It sets the tone for the song, with, by the way, those points that Rock of Ages specifically eliminated. It has in it, O mighty rock of my salvation, to praise you is a delight. Restore my house of prayer, there we will bring a thanksgiving offering. When you will have prepared the slaughter for the blaspheming foe, then I shall complete with a song of hymn the dedication of the altar. All right, this definitely isn't going to go with a tune. I don't care what tune you come up with. You can't even do Kol Mekadesh tune with these words. Nothing's going to work. Nonetheless, bear with me because the contents are important. It begins with a prayer for the restoration of the temple of the Beit HaMikdash and bringing a Karban Todah, a thanks offering to celebrate. We are taught that the Karban Todah, the thanks offering, is the hallmark of the time of Mashiach. It's about a time of redemption. And it invokes the slaughter of the blaspheming foe. The Hebrew is actually stronger. Mitzar ha-menabeach. What does the term menabeach mean? Anybody know? What is linboach in Hebrew?
To bark.
To bark. Thank you, Chani. It is to bark. The mitzar ha-menabeach, the barking foe. And that's based on a verse in Yeshaya chapter 56 about the fall of the Babylonians. It calls for the slaughter of the enemy. Rock of Ages didn't like that and left it out. But I think it's really important to understand what this is. Keep in mind, we traced Ma'oz Tzur back to 13th, 14th century Germany. What was the major event for Ashkenazi Jewry, for German Jewry, in the 14th century? The defining event for their time? The Black Death. Right? The Black Death, which led to massacre after massacre after massacre, pogrom after pogrom after pogrom. Fundamentally, that's what created Jewish Poland. Because King Casimir in Poland opened the doors and said, we welcome in the Jews. He wasn't the first king in Poland to do it. There was actually a predecessor in the 13th century, but he expanded greatly the options for Jews there, and that's how Polish Jewry grew initially. But this feeling of punish my enemies makes a lot of sense when those enemies are massacring Jewish communities. I may not feel so comfortable, and the authors of Rock of Ages may not be so comfortable with the language, but you have to know where this is coming from. So that's your introduction. It calls for the building of the temple. It expresses outrage at how we have suffered. It calls on God for vengeance. And then look at the next verses. The second verse. My soul had been sated with troubles, my strength has been consumed with grief, they had embittered my life with hardship, with the calf-like kingdom's bondage. Who is the calf-like kingdom? Who's he talking about? Mordechai, the writer of Ma'oz Tzur, who is he talking about? Who is the calf-like kingdom? If you're not sure, look at the last line in that verse. Well, I'm just going to wait here. We're in the second verse in Ma'oz Tzur. Which, sorry?
Mitzrayim.
Mitzrayim, Egypt, correct. Pharaoh's army and all his offspring, right? This is talking about Egypt. They're known as the kingdom of the calf. It's Jeremiah chapter 46, because they are pampered and lazy and comfortable. So that's your second verse. Your first verse is an introduction. Your second verse talks about God saving us from the Egyptians. Your third verse? To the holy abode of his word he brought me, but thereto I had no rest. An oppressor came and exiled me. Which oppressor was it who exiled me?
Babel.
Babylon. Correct. An oppressor came and exiled me. And it goes on to talk about my sins. I had served aliens, meaning idolatry, had drunk benumbing wine, scarcely had I departed my land, but then I came back at Babylon's end, Zerubbabel came, and then we were able to build the second temple. So my third verse speaks about Babylon. We're talking about Egypt, we talk about Babylon, and then in the fourth verse, to sever the towering cypress, sought the Agagite, son of Hammedata. Who is our enemy here? Haman, but Haman representing what empire?
Persia.
Correct. This is about the Persians. So our fourth verse is about the Persians. You know, right now, I didn't know this was a Hanukkah song. Right? Your first verse in general is thanks to God and calling on God to save us from our enemies. And then we've got Egypt and we've got Babylon and we've got Persia. Finally, verse number 5. Greeks gathered against me then in Hasmonean days. Right? In Hebrew, Greeks are called Yevanim. Right? Yevanim. How does the word Yavan come to mean Greece? Anybody know? Like in many cases in Hebrew, the English name, the name that we use in English, is recognizable in the Hebrew name. Where does the name Yavan come from? Anybody know? I mean, it's mentioned in the Chumash in the beginning among the nations that descend from Noah, but that's not where it comes from. Ionia. Yavan. Ionia. That's the origin. That's a side note. So here we finally get to the story of Hanukkah. Greeks gathered against me then in Hasmonean days. They breached the walls of my towers and they defied all of the oil. Now, when it says they breached the walls of my towers, there's a Mishnah which teaches that there was a barrier in the temple. Only those who had accepted the covenant, meaning only those who were Jewish, were allowed to proceed past that barrier. And the Greeks smashed holes in that barrier, saying, there is nowhere that we are not allowed to go. That's what it means when it says, they breached the walls of my towers. And from the one remnant of the flasks, a miracle was wrought for the roses. They translate Shoshanim as roses. Others translate it as lilies. Men of insight, 8 days established, as we said, for song and jubilation. And here I brought you of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch in source number 11, with his beautiful description of that last flask of oil. One single pure spark, loyally treasured in but one single Jewish heart, is sufficient for God to set aflame once more the whole spirit of Judaism. It's a beautiful paragraph, worth reading later. He goes on in that vein. But that's the Greece part. And then finally, in the next paragraph, bear your holy arm and hasten the end for salvation. Avenge the vengeance of your servant's blood from the wicked nation. The wicked nation, I'll save you from trouble on this one, is Rome, specifically. They're identified as the red one because Esav is Edom, he is Admoni, he is the one who is ruddy. This verse is actually not an original part of Ma'oz Tzur. It was written later, not quite clear how much later. There's a lot of interesting imagery there, but we're running low on time, so I'm not going to mention much except to say that when he talks about the seven shepherds, establish for us the seven shepherds, look at a verse in Micha, chapter 5, sentence 4. That's a reference to them, and the Gemara at the end of Sukkah discusses who they are. But here's where I want to now come back. We've now read Ma'oz Tzur, and for anyone who hasn't read it before, maybe that was entertaining, maybe even enlightening. But how does this connect? In other words, so I've told you that I think the songs of Hanukkah are the essence, more so than lighting the Chanukiah. And I've shown you, I hope, how that's emphasized in Talmudic sources, how it's emphasized in the Rambam, how it's emphasized in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law. It's all about the singing. The singing is, as to use Rav Aaron Cutler's phrase, is supposed to help us process the miracle. How does Ma'oz Tzur, what we just read, how does it do that? I'm going to suggest three things, because it's already 9:25, and I need a minute at the end of the shiur for something special. So let me see if I can get this in here. Number one, the idea that all of our salvation comes from God. We list all of these different victories, and other than Zerubbabel, we don't mention any human beings. All the victories are described as coming from Hashem. We take the human hand out. It's helping us to process, to understand that what we received genuinely came specifically from Hashem. That's number one. Number two, what emerges here is the sense that Hanukkah is part of a greater pattern of progress in history. We don't have a song about Hanukkah in a vacuum. We have a song that talks about getting out of Egypt. We have a song that talks about getting out of Babylon. We have a song that talks about the Greeks, yes, but it also talks about the Persians, and it also asks for redemption from the Romans. It puts Hanukkah in the context of Jewish history as a whole, and Hanukkah is only mentioned in verse number 5. So that's a second point. And then third, it presents us with an awareness that our goal is still not achieved. Tikkun Beit Tfilati. Let my temple, let my Beit HaMikdash be built, be established. We're not there yet. It's not a Rock of Ages song. We were saved. Everything's wonderful now. It's not true. We're still waiting. We're still working. So this is how we process the miracle. So I brought you review questions on the sheet. I think it's especially valuable when you're doing a shiur late at night to have review questions. How long have Jews been singing Ma'oz Tzur on Hanukkah? Well, at least since the 15th century, from the story of Rav Isterlein singing it Friday night on Hanukkah. The two kinds of causes for Hallel. Number one, there is the cause that is to go along with the ritual of a sacrifice, but that doesn't apply in Hanukkah. And there is also the celebration of a miracle. That's what Hanukkah is known for, and that is its principal contribution to the nature of Hallel. From which persecutors were we rescued? In each paragraph of Ma'oz Tzur, so you can go down the list. Right? Second paragraph is Egypt, third one is Babylon, fourth one is Persia, fifth one is the Greeks, sixth one we hope will be the Romans. And the three lessons we learn for processing it are, once again, salvation comes from God. We're supposed to learn to feel that as we sing. That Hanukkah is part of a greater pattern of redemption in Jewish history. And an awareness that our goal is still not achieved, and God willing will be achieved, just like it was on Hanukkah. For those who are interested, I gave you a link in the last source. I came across a fascinating article, it's in Hebrew, by Dr. Orlean, Dr. Michael Orlean, tracing biblical and rabbinic references in Ma'oz Tzur. So for anyone who wants more about Ma'oz Tzur, that's a good place to look. Okay, so I now need to just ask your patience for 1 minute.